Okay, for those of you that are new, you don't understand this, but everybody else that's here does. That's not the passage we're going to be in. But I'm close. It's the sister passage. I'm actually going to be in Luke today, Luke chapter 4, which is it's the same story, so I wasn't technically wrong when I sent it in. It was the right story, just a different passage. There's two stories, two different Gospels in Mark and in Luke where this story takes place. And so, just to make you all feel comfortable, I put up the wrong one. But it's all about, for us nowadays, being comfortable. And that's not what it's about. But that's what we seem to, we want to be comfortable in our job, we want to be comfortable in our car, we want to be comfortable in our bed that adjusts to us and heats to us and all those things. We want to be comfortable. And that's our problem. Because when it's comfortable, it's about us. I want my side of the bed higher. I want my side of the bed warmer. I want my car seat to warm up. I want my steering wheel to warm up. I want to be able to be comfortable wherever I am because I'm concerned about me. And it's not about me, it's about Jesus. But here we're going to read a story, and I think when it comes down to it, I think being comfortable was the problem. So I'm going to be in Luke chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 31 if you want to read along with me. Then he, meaning Jesus, went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. He cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is, for with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits and they come out." And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Let's pray. Father God, we open your word today and pray more than that, that we'd open our hearts to hear from you. Lord, if you don't take over, we're wasting our time. Lord, we need your spirit to teach us. We need you to talk to us. We need you to open your word and make it alive. Lord, help us to receive it the way you would want each of us as individuals to receive it. Lord, speak to us in spite of us. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity to open your word. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage is one of those that, like I said, we've heard of it at different times, I'm sure, and it's that idea of what took place in that synagogue was the church. The synagogue actually began when the children of Israel were in Babylon and the temple had been destroyed, and so there was no temple in Jerusalem, and so they began to find local places to meet. And that's where the synagogue actually started. It was during that time of captivity and towards the end of captivity. And we turn that into basically today as a church. That's our church when we meet locally, because there is no need for that temple, because our body is the temple of Christ. And so Jesus had came and he had began to speak. Well, they were used to having scribes and Pharisees. Scribes were the ones that would take the Old Testament and rewrite it, everything of the law and the prophets, and they would write it all down. And when they would do that, they would come to know it very well. And so when they would come to the synagogue on the Sabbath, either one of the scribes or one of the Pharisees would stand up and they would read a passage, and then they would sit down and they would discuss it. But they were always reading someone else, some other scribe. They were referring to passages that some other scribe had written. And so it was never really with authority of their own. It was always based on someone else. Well, here Jesus comes into the synagogue, and all of a sudden they hear this teaching with authority. And it changed. For years, I used to substitute teach. And when I was in the classroom, the students knew I was a substitute teacher. And they knew I really didn't have a whole lot of authority. But when another teacher would come in or the principal would come in, immediately things would change a little bit. Not very much, but a little bit. Because they knew that person had authority. And that's similar to what's taking place here. They would have that scribe or that Pharisee that was just repeating what they had heard. And then Jesus comes in and he begins to speak with authority because he is the Son of God. And what he's speaking, he knows because it's about him. And so as he comes in, they're not used to authority. You've all been around people that are not used to authority, and you know what that's like. Well, this is their church. This is their synagogue that's not used to authority. And let's look for just a second what's going on in that synagogue. There is a man in that synagogue that has a demon. He's possessed by a demon in the church, and he is comfortable going to church. Think about that for just a minute. A man with a demon was comfortable going to church. Why would that be? How could that possibly be that a person would go to the synagogue and he was comfortable, the demon inside him was comfortable going to the synagogue? That just, to me, when I read over that this past couple weeks and I thought about that, I thought, how sad is that on that synagogue? That there was no authority of God spoken, and so the demon was comfortable. Not only was the demon comfortable in that synagogue, but the people were comfortable with the man with the demon in the synagogue. They were really, really comfortable because they were concerned about themselves instead of about what was going on for God in the synagogue. They were so comfortable until Jesus' authority entered in. Well, they knew the scriptures. They had written them. Some of those guys had copied the scriptures multiple times, and they had read them every Sabbath, and they would take, and they knew the scriptures. And they were still comfortable with the demon in their midst. How is that possible to know the scriptures, to read the scriptures, the prophecies, the prophets, the law of the Old Testament, read them every week, and still a demon was comfortable to come into their synagogue, and they were comfortable with him? The demon was comfortable because they just knew the scriptures. They didn't know God. Let's look at this again. They were comfortable. The demon was comfortable. And the only one in the synagogue that knew Jesus was the demon. Think about that for just a second. The demon, when he speaks up, he says, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?" He even knew where Jesus came from. Everybody else, the scribes and the Pharisees, they denied Jesus. They did not give Jesus his due. They did not recognize him as the Son of God. But the demon even knew where he came from. The demon knew that he was from Nazareth. Not only that, he goes on to say, "Did you come to destroy us?" The demon knew that Scripture says that one day the Son of God is going to destroy the demons. That's what the Bible tells us. We know that. He knew that. He didn't know the time or the place. And so when he was confronted with Jesus' authority, he says, "Did you come to destroy us?" Because he knew that was what was eventually going to happen, was that Jesus was going to destroy the demons. Every time when you look through the Bible, in the New Testament, there's at least 12 specific times where it says Jesus cast out a demon. 5 times he spoke directly to a demon when he was casting them out. This is one of those times. Each time when he confronted that demon knew who he was and knew he was going to be destroyed by Jesus. So he knew where he was from. He knew the power that he had. And he goes on to say, "And I know you are the Holy One of God." The demon knew that Jesus was the Holy One of God, the sinless Son of God. The demon knew that, but the religious people didn't. They knew all the scriptures, but they didn't know who Jesus was. If we're not careful, we can end up in the same place. We can be like that synagogue. We can be that way as a church body. We can be that way as an individual. If we become comfortable with the Scripture. Now let me explain what I mean. Because there's times when I will listen to people, sermons online, and you can tell that that pastor is so comfortable with the Scripture. He knows it so well. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if we are so comfortable with what the Scripture says and we can live with it, not obeying it. We can become that comfortable. And if that happens, we will be just like this synagogue. So I want us to take it first today as an individual. I'm going to take it for me personally. You take it for you personally. We can apply it to our church body, to the body of Christ, every Christian. We can take it however we want. But today I want us to take it right now as individuals and take what happened to this synagogue and apply it to our life. Are we that comfortable with the Scripture that it doesn't affect my life? Now, if they're in this synagogue and a man comes in with a demon and they're able to sit there beside him, listen to what the law says and the prophet said, and they're okay to sit there, something's wrong. And I think that's where we need to understand that we can become that way too. If it becomes a book of rules and stories. Yes, there are rules in the Bible that we're supposed to obey. There are stories in there that we can learn from. But if all this book ever is rules and stories, you are going to get comfortable. Because this book, it tells us it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It says that there is only one way to heaven. It tells us we have to obey what Jesus said. If I'm uncomfortable, if you're uncomfortable with things in our life that this book says are wrong, if I'm uncomfortable with that, then there's a problem. And the problem's not with this book, the problem's with me. We have to understand that. So, people today, and I'm going to flare it out towards society, they've become so comfortable that God's Word has lost its authority. What happens when some teacher or some boss loses authority? Things kind of go downhill from there. There are so many people that this is a book of stories and rules. And it has lost all authority. And because of that, life is going downhill. Society is going downhill. So what do we do? Why is that the case? I think there's some reasons why it loses its authority. Because they don't see sin as sin. Obviously, if these people are sitting in this synagogue and they're sitting by this man that's demon-possessed, controlled by the demon, if they're sitting by him and they don't see anything wrong, that's a lot like you and I. When we sit by people, we live by people, we work by people, and we see something that is sin and it doesn't really bother me. I can just turn my back on it because it doesn't really affect me. Because they've got their own choice. They can make up their own mind. It's not really going to bother me. Because that's not my focus. My focus is me being comfortable in my pew and hearing what I want to hear and ignoring everything around me. Many people lose focus of what sin really is. And I'm not talking about the things that it mentions in the Bible at this point. There are so many things that it does tell us. But it tells us that sin is also that thing that happens that we know we're supposed to do, but we don't do. That's a sin as well. So it's not just the things that are listed, but it's the things that we're supposed to do that we don't do. But sin doesn't seem to bother us anymore because we're comfortable with it. Because surely that sin that they're talking about on the news is not going to affect us here in Stockton. It's not going to affect us here in our little circle. We don't see sin as sin because the world says it's not sin when the Bible says it is. The next thing is they don't see sin as that harmful. Well, you know, it's really not hurting anybody. How can pornography really hurt anybody? How can my bad attitude, if I don't do anything on that attitude, how can that really hurt anybody? How can sin in my life that nobody else knows about, how can it hurt anybody? We think sin is not harmful. But sin is what nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. How can that not be harmful? But that's our attitude today. Is at least if I've got 51% of good in my life, then that 49% of sin, the 51 outweighs it. No, it doesn't. It doesn't work that way. We have to see sin as sin, and we have to see what the penalty of sin cost. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Because until we do that, I can stay comfortable, knee-deep in sin. And I'll be okay. Because I don't think it's too harmful. It's like when I go to the ocean, I wade out there knee-deep. And I'm pretty good. I'm comfortable. Sharks don't come that close. If they do, you can see them. And then after I've been there for a little while, I'll wade out to my waist. That way I can still get a tan. And I can still see the fins. But I can still touch bottom and I can still get out quick. That's what I think. And then before you know it, I start to burn. That's ugly. Don't even picture that. But I start to burn. And so I'm going to go out to my shoulders. And I'll just put a hat on to cover my head. And I'll get in just up to my shoulders. And then a year or two ago, we were down at the beach in South Carolina. And I'm out there, and I'm comfortable enough. I'm up to my shoulders. And the next thing I realize, I see everybody looking out behind me. Panic begins to strike. It's like, what are all these people looking at? And so I turn around, and there's a pod of dolphins swimming by. But I did not see dolphins. Yeah, you know what went through my mind first. But by that time, it was too late. Because what was comfortable at knee deep had been comfortable shoulder deep. And then by the time it was that deep, I was too deep. And that's how we get comfortable with sin. It starts off, well, it's just a little bit of sin in my life. Maybe it's just a little bit of sin that I'm putting up with around me. And I get comfortable with it. And then it begins to grow, and I still begin to get more comfortable until it's too late. And it overtakes me. All because I thought it wasn't harmful at first. And then there are those that see sin as not my problem. I accepted Jesus Christ, and the Bible tells me that grace covers all my sins. And I get that attitude to think that grace is a license to sin. Grace is not a license to sin. Well, Pastor, I can find in the Bible where it says, the more I sin, the more grace abounds. And so maybe I should sin more so grace will abound more. That was the attitude of some stupid people in the Bible. And that's the reason for that passage. But that's how we look at it today. It's the same way. We think, well, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I believe what He did on the cross. He died for me, and I've surrendered my life to Him. I want Him to be my Savior. And so what I do is I accept that grace, and at that point, if I'm wrong, like these people were in the Bible, they say, well, God's grace is going to cover it. So I can do whatever I want. And it will never affect me. You're wrong. Because every Christian will face judgment. Now, not the great white throne judgment that those who have rejected Jesus Christ will face, but the judgment seat of Christ, where each and every person that's a Christian will be held accountable for what they did with what Christ gave them. They accepted Him. It's not an idea of heaven or hell, it's of what have you done with what I gave you? With the opportunities I gave you, what have you done? And if you think that grace just covers up everything, one day when you stand there, you're going to miss out on a lot of things. That's why people get comfortable. Because they don't see sin as sin. They don't see sin as harmful. Or they think because of grace they can do whatever they want. So how do we keep that from happening? We have to give authority back to the Word of God. It has to no longer just be a book that we go and read or listen to on Sundays and Wednesdays and times that society says is okay. It has to be something that means something in our life, that changes our life. We have to come to a point where the Bible is the Word of God again. We have to recognize the living Word of God. That doesn't mean you take that what I'm saying as, well, the pastor said this. No, you take the Word of God. Don't ever take what any pastor says as the Word of God. Don't take a commentary as the Word of God. Take the Word of God as the Word of God. My God is a personal God. He made it possible for me to have a personal relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, His death on the cross. It's personal to Him, It has to be personal to me. So I need to read it. I need to understand it. I need to meditate on it. Well, Pastor, I've tried that and it doesn't. I have trouble. You have to take time. How bad do you want it? Dig into it. Pray over it. Listen to it. See what it has to say. Because if we don't give the Word of God authority, then who do you think has authority? People want to say, well, you know, I'm either going to give God authority or I'm going to give Satan authority. Well, I'm not going to choose to give Satan authority, and I'm not really ready to give God authority, so I'm just going to keep authority. That doesn't work. Because if God doesn't have authority, then Satan does. That's the bottom line. Because it's not about me. It's not about authority that I might have. As long as man has authority, Jesus doesn't. And if Jesus doesn't, then Satan does. That's what it comes down to. We have to go back to the authority. As an individual, we have to have the authority of God in our lives. And in that case, it's going to change everything. Look what happens in this passage. Jesus comes in and he begins to teach with authority in this synagogue. And immediately, this man, this demon-possessed, begins to speak as a confrontation. What are you doing here? Why are you bothering us? Satan is going to have an issue when you and I try to give the authority back to the Bible. When we try to put the authority of God back in our lives, Satan is not going to like it. He didn't like it right here. And he begins to talk back, and this was Jesus. He began to confront Jesus on who he was. So when you and I put the authority of God back in our life through the Bible, what's Satan going to do? Well, that's just a book. That's just a bunch of stories. You're given a bunch of stories from history, authority in your life. Satan's going to try to talk you out of it. And he knows all the answers. But what happens next is he had to flee. Because the power of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, he has to flee. He's not going to like it. And he's going to do what he can, but the bottom line is the name of Jesus, he has to flee. There's other things that take place. When the demon left, it put this man, it threw him in their midst and came out of him and did not hurt him. This man who had been demon-possessed, who had been comfortable sitting in church with the power of Satan in him, all of a sudden, that power was gone and he was cleansed. When we allow the power of God, the authority of God, to be what it's supposed to be in our lives, then the power of God will cleanse us to where he wants us to be. But that's not all that took place. The people, these same scribes and Pharisees who had sat there week after week listening to the scriptures, read, maybe even reading them themselves, comfortable with a demon in their midst, they finally, for one time, they see the power of Jesus, the authority of Jesus spoken in front of them. And they're like, wait, something's different. This guy's teaching with authority. They didn't recognize who the authority was. But they knew something was different. So not just the demon, And not just the man who was cleansed, but even the people who didn't believe in Jesus still recognized the authority, and they were amazed. They were not amazed that the man had a convulsion and laid down on the floor and stood up and was in his right mind. They were amazed at what Jesus did. And it says that the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. When we allow the authority of God to take over our lives, it will affect those people around us. They will see the things in my life that I let that authority take care of. Well, I can surely take care of those things on my own. No, you can't. If you could take care of the sin in your life, then there would have been no need for Jesus to die on the cross. But when we allow His authority to take over our lives, He gives us power through the Holy Spirit to get those things out of our life. And the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control begin to take over and become fruit in our life. And people are going to notice that. That's what happens when we surrender authority. So why don't we? Why don't we surrender authority? I don't have an answer for that. Because there's times when I get up of a morning and I go in and I read this, and sometimes I read it like it's a book. And then there's other times when I go to it expecting God to speak and God to change, and God to deliver. And I look at it with the authority of the Son of God, and it comes alive. I can't say for you what you need to do. But I am saying that if you are comfortable, be really careful. If you're comfortable, be really careful. Because the issues in our lives may just be up to our knees right now. And our attitude towards that will make a big difference. So what are you going to do about it? There was a passage in the Old Testament where the children of Israel were supposed to take over this other nation, and they went to war, and they took them, and they were told, do not bring anything back. Do not bring any of the things that you would normally bring back, any of the gold or stuff. Don't bring it back to our camp. There was one guy. He brought it back, and he hid it in his tent. And it affected everybody because there was sin in the camp. It just takes a little bit to affect your whole life. That's what we have to understand. That just a little bit affects everything. And that little bit starts with our attitude. We have to believe what the Bible says is true. We have to look at its commands as something that must be obeyed. We have to give it authority in our daily life. And too many times, that's just not comfortable. That's just not comfortable to do that. Because I worked my whole life to get to this point where I'm comfortable. But it's not about you, and it's not about me. Of all the disciples, none of them died comfortably. Oh yeah, there was one that may have died of old age on an island. Doesn't mean it was comfortable. The rest of them were beheaded, crucified upside down, you name it. Following Jesus Christ is not going to be comfortable. giving Him the authority in our lives is not going to be comfortable. But what is the alternative? It's giving Satan the authority in our lives. My prayer is that you're not comfortable. My prayer is that I'm not comfortable. My prayer is that this book gets the authority that it deserves in our life. But that's an individual, personal thing. That's where we are. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, just I truly, truly hope that we are never so comfortable that we're okay with any sin in our life. God, open our eyes to see the things that are there that shouldn't be. Lord, I pray we see the cost of even the smallest sin. God, show us a glimpse of the true cross on which you died. God, take over. In your name we pray. Amen.